everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Untitled Leisure Podcast. My name is Claire Goldberg, and I am currently the Voices editorial board chair. I'm a former halftime leisure editor and general lover of all things good in the world of culture.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dejure. I am the current leisure editor for The Voice, also a former halftime leisure editor, and also a lover of all things good in the world.
Hi, I'm Danielle. I'm a sophomore, and this is my first semester writing for The Voice, and it was the best decision ever, and I also love all things good in culture.
And we are so, so lucky to have a special guest on this episode, Hunter Harris, who is a culture writer for Vulture. So Hunter, if you could just tell us about yourself.
Wow, thank you. I'm Hunter Harris. I'm an associate editor at Vulture, which is New York Magazine's culture, entertainment, website, magazine section. And I mostly write about movies. I also write about TV sometimes, and sometimes music. But I am very excited to be here, and I'm so flattered that you guys asked me to guest on this episode.
Full disclosure, we are all very big fans of yours.
Yes, you are.
So you don't need to thank us for anything.
Thank you.
So on this episode, we're going to be talking about nominations. So Golden Globes and Grammy noms just came out. We're also going to be talking about the very tumultuous journey of figuring out who's going to host the Oscars. And we'll end up with a wrap-up of what we loved in 2018. Dejure, take it away.
Yeah, so Hunter, we have noticed that you currently have a campaign going for you to host the Oscars, and it is truly riveting. So tell us why you should host the Oscars.
I mean, listen, why shouldn't I host the Oscars? Okay, I'm just going to be real. I'm funny, I'm young, I know about movies, and, you know, I have a lot of opinions about what should win and what shouldn't win. And I believe that Natalie Portman should have won an Oscar for Jackie. I believe that Three Billboards was racist. And I believe that Timothée Chalamet should have won Best Actor.
Yes.
I think that Beale Street should win Best Picture.
Yes.
And Ethan Hawke's forehead wrinkles should win Best Actor.
Yes.
I mean, I have all the right opinions, so it's almost like, why haven't they called me yet?
That's honestly a good question. On that note, so Kevin Hart, you know, did some homophobic shit, and people are like, oh, but, you know, those tweets were so old, and like, oh, we still need, like, a man to host the Oscars. So can you tell us why everything surrounding Oscar hosting is so problematic?
I mean, imagine thinking a man could host anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, no, I think with the Kevin Hart stuff, it's that, you know, I don't want to say that's like, you did one bad thing, you have to go away forever. I mean, I don't find him particularly, like, super funny myself, but at the same time, I think he's definitely, like, competent. But what he didn't do was, like, apologize or show any kind of remorse or understanding about his own homophobia, and that was the real issue. The Academy wanted him to apologize, according to his own Instagram video, you know, documenting this whole saga, which is in and of itself very hilarious. He chose to not apologize, to not even discuss this in any detail, and so that's why he's not hosting the Oscars. It's not because of the homophobia itself. It's because he, like, chose to not apologize at all or even show any remorse, which is insane to me. But I think, you know, they're in a really tough spot right now. I'm thinking there are only five people, more or less, who are even capable of hosting the Oscars at this point. Because, I mean, there's so many things that go into it. It's not just one night of work. You have to do the rehearsals. You have to figure out all the jokes. You have to, you know, do all the tech stuff. And then you also have to have experience hosting an award show like this, which is, you know, not a lot of people have. It's a huge stage, it's a huge venue, it's a huge event, and also you have to be famous enough to get viewers, and also, you know, ABC, I'm sure, doesn't want a host who's from a competing network. They don't want to be promoting SNL people on ABC, because that just looks weird. So there's so few people who are actually capable of doing this and have the experience, and I feel like a lot of them have already said no. Ellen has said no, I think. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler have said no. I feel like Chris Rock has said no. So, yeah, I mean, it's like a very small pool.
Yeah.
And then there's also me.
And it should be you.
Anyone have any other notes on just this shithole of an Oscar hosting attempt?
Yeah, so The Hollywood Reporter last week put out this piece about how hosting the Oscars is like the least wanted job in Hollywood. And I totally get why all these people are saying no. I guess the only positive thing to come out of this whole Kevin Hart mess is the phrase, "I am in love with the man I am becoming." I think that is the funniest thing ever, and that should be just memed into existence forever.
That's like my third favorite sentence of 2018.
Right? What are the other two?
Okay, since you asked. wait, I actually have a list. Let me
open. Oh my goodness.
I know the Okay. My first favorite sentence of 2018 is from Quincy Jones' interview with Vulture, where I think the Vulture reporter, David Marchese, asks him about Bill Cosby, and Quincy Jones replies, "We cannot talk about this in public," which I think is hilarious.
Oh, wait, I heard about this.
Yes. And then, of course, my second favorite line of 2018 is Lady Gaga saying, you know, there can be 100 people in a room, and 99 don't believe in you, you just need the one who does. Yeah.
If you're not immediately tattooing that on your forehead, then I don't know what you're doing in 2018.
That will be my first face tattoo, I guarantee you. It has to be.
I loved... I'm constantly on your Twitter, Hunter, and you retweeted the video of Jonah Hill, like, defending Lady Gaga, which I thought was a very strange video, but
lovely.
Still. What's so funny about that is, so one of my really good friends works at GQ and was like the person who sort of flagged that for me because he knew I would love it because it's just so crazy. But it's so funny to me that Jonah Hill took it upon himself to bring that up. Like, no one was asking him about Lady Gaga or Star Is Born or anything. Mm-hmm. He was just like, actually, if you want to see a really great performance, watch Lady Gaga doing this press tour.
Wow. We stand a manbassador.
So, Hunter, we would just love to get your takes on the Golden Globe nominations, which were just released a few days ago. What you were happy to see, and then maybe some snubs that you were surprised about.
I mean, the snub that is really keeping me up at night right now is Widows.
Yes.
I'm shocked that it literally did not get one single nomination. I mean, just the talent in Widows alone, the number of Oscar winners or Oscar nominees in this movie is insane. And also, it's just so good. I think it really is like a big budget heist movie that says a lot about politics, about gender, about race, about, you know, all of these very interesting topics in a very, you know, big budget cinematic way. And it's insane to me that people are not loving this movie as much as they should be. That snub hurts a lot. And also Suspiria, which I thought was doing a lot of very interesting things. Not all of them perfectly, but I love Luca Guadagnino, I love Tilda Swinton, and I love Dakota Johnson, and I felt like Suspiria should be in the conversation way more, even though it is sort of very esoteric and lofty, you know, filmmaking. But what am I excited about, though? I'm excited about... Beale Street, anything for Beale Street, anything for A Star Is Born, anything for Black Panther, I'm, like, freaking out about, anything for The Favorite. I mean, Beale Street, The Favorite, and A Star Is Born are, like, battling it out for my affection right now. I mean, they're all three, like, perfect movies. They're, like, you know the video of those two guys, like, they're giving each other the finger and, like...
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like, that's what's going on in my heart with these... I'm sort of dismayed that Vice is getting so much play.
I didn't even see Vice.
I haven't seen it.
Who has seen that movie?
I think Christmas Day.
Yeah, oh. Christmas,
But it's directed by Adam McKay, who did The Big Short and who does Succession on HBO, which is a show I really like. But I think Vice is like the most glib, like self-satisfied, just unclever.
That's the vibe
don't like this movie. I hate it, and I'm just so upset that it's getting so much attention, because it's truly so, so bad. Mm-hmm. Vice and also Green Book is doing so well.
Oh my God.
I don't understand how you can watch Green Book, a movie about a white man learning not to be racist, and think it's at all well-directed. It's just not.
And he's not even learning how to not be a racist well, you know? He's not even doing a good job at not being racist. So... Yeah,
he's sort of just discovering that racism exists,
yeah,
and that he might be racist, and that is somehow a movie.
Also, not to give Ali, like, the lead role in a movie where his character is the main character was the weirdest thing I had ever seen.
Well, so the thing with Mahershala is that he'd selected himself to go supporting for, like, the whole race.
Weird.
Even though it's, like, definitely they're both leads, even though the movie certainly favors Viggo Mortensen's character's perspective over the Dr. Don Shirley character.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was, like, Mahershala's choice. But I do think that it sort of speaks to the politics of the movie that no one was like, actually, wait, this optically does not look right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree with everything you've been saying about, I've been trying to wrap my head around why Vice and why Green Book got so much love. Maybe it's partly because the nature of the HFPA, they're all international journalists, and I think they might have a view of America that's kind of from the outside looking in, and that I could see them watching something like Green Book, which I know some people are saying is like the cousin of Three Billboards maybe, and yeah, think like, oh yes, this is hitting America spot on, like this is exactly what people will love this, and I think they just have no sense for how tone deaf it is, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think something else with the HFPA in general is that, you know, they really love movie stars and love having a very star-studded event. I mean, you know, that Johnny Depp, Angelina Jolie movie, The Visitor, was nominated for a Golden Globe like 8 years ago. Like that's crazy. Oh, there's, right, there's no so way. True. So I think that's part of it. And also that they really stepped in it last year. They were like they were the only major awards body to not give Best Supporting Actor to Mahershala Ali. I'm sorry, mm-hmm, 2 years ago to not give it to Mahershala.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They gave it to, oh my gosh, Aaron Taylor Johnson from Nocturnal Animals.
Oh.
And so, I mean, I think that's sort of like a flagrant error, clearly. Yeah. I mean, one of my friends, Kyle Buchanan, he's from the New York Times, he brought this up to me that, like, Mahershala is like a shoe-in to win this year because they were the only people who didn't give him an award 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, on that note, should we just, like, forget the Golden Globes exist? Like, do we just, like, accept the fact that it's a trash nomination system and, like, a bad award show? Or, like, do we reconcile that somehow?
I mean, I think, in terms of, like, the Oscars, they don't matter at all because there's no overlap between these, you know, committees who are picking these nominees. But I think it does sort of, I don't know, I mean, just in the machinery of award season, I feel like the more your name, the more your title gets out there, the better it is for you. So in that, you know, regard, I am sort of happy that John David Washington got a nomination for Black Klansman Best Actor. I did not see that coming because I think sort of the thinking going into award season for Black Klansman was that the only awards that could really go for would be Best Supporting Actor for Adam Driver, and Best Director for Spike Lee, which I think Black Klansman is a very good movie about Adam Driver being very hot.
Yes.
I'm happy that, you know, people see it as something more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. The last thing I want to say about the Golden Globes is I cannot wait for Lady Gaga to win her EGOT. She deserves it. She deserves the world.
I want her to win just so she can walk by Leonardo DiCaprio and he can give her some more side eye like a few years ago.
Oh my God,
listen,
wait.
If I host the Oscars, we will be recreating that.
I'm just here for all,
a campaign promise.
Right? Wow.
I'm here for all the Leonardo DiCaprio love interests. Like, are Lady Gaga and Rihanna going to battle it out?
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Does he deserve either of them? No.
Certainly not.
I would also like to say that I was very pleased with Elsie Fisher being nominated for 8th grade.
Yes.
I think she's adorable.
A tender, sweet.
I love Elsie and I love that performance. And that's another movie. I really wish that 8th grade was getting more love for Bo. I think he's really very interesting and talented writer. Oh my gosh, he's I'm in love with him. Like, he's so nice and empathetic and kind, and I wish that he got a nomination for that script.
I'm so jealous that you got to meet both of them.
I'm so jealous of myself too.
I know, they're incredible. Yeah. And Hunter, I love your piece on about 8th grade and Lady Bird and why showing acne and like girls' real skin is still so important.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I love that piece, but it was also like I was too embarrassed to pitch it in the meeting because I just felt like I don't know. You know, like, talking about your skin is so awkward, and I feel like we all think about it all the time, but, thank you. That means a lot.
All right. Shall we move on to Grammy noms?
Let's do it.
Good. Ooh. All right, I'm going to start this off with the last bullet point I put down, which is that the Grammys are bad, and they're not an accurate reflection of good music, and I hate the Grammys. Saying that, let's talk about the Grammys.
I second everything that you said, Claire. I would never pay too much attention to the Grammys until the travesty that was Taylor Swift winning over To Pimp a Butterfly, and then it was then that I realized that the world isn't fair. So Kendrick and Drake are leading the nominations, and Claire so kindly put that one of these things is not like the other, which I think is interesting. I feel like Black Panther, the album, I thought it was really good and, like, really strong. But if I'm being honest, I much prefer, like, the score rather than the album itself. And I don't know if I would have put it there.
I mean, I love the album. But I also think what's so cool is that it's sort of such a throwback to, like, the soundtracks of the 90s, where it felt like, you know, a full experience of the movie and not just, like, here are songs that we picked and paid money for, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of that music is not in the movie. It's just inspired by this idea of Wakanda and all of these stories. I thought that was really cool. I mean, I like Kendrick as a curator and as a rapper, and I think that, like, is, like, a different kind of artistry that he's bringing to this project, where, I mean, Drake sort of does the same thing all the time, which is, like, create things that you can write raps that work as Instagram captions, which is a talent, but...
All I really have to add is that I love Dirty Computer, and I think it would just be so funny if Bradley Cooper won a Grammy before, like, so many Grammy-less artists.
I am ready for Grammy winner Bradley Cooper.
Me too, I hope he pees himself. Yeah.
I don't like indulging in the Nicki Minaj versus Cardi B beef, but it has to be mentioned that Cardi is all over these nominations and Nicki is nowhere. And I liked Queen. I don't know. I know there are some people in The Voice who thought that was, like, her best album. I don't know if I thought that.
No, that's the weirdest take anyone in this publication has ever had.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I just, the memes and the discussion surrounding Cardi B being all over here and Nicki not has been, I think, the best thing to come out of this. So that's the only thing that the only takeaway that I have for the Grammys this year is that at least Twitter is funny. And that's about it.
I need to listen to Queen. Honestly, I haven't listened to it. I was listening to Queen Radio whenever she, like, goes off about Cardi, because, like, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
That should, like, win... I don't know, are there, like, radio awards? Like, that's art.
Has she made one regarding Grammys yet?
I don't think so.
I wonder if that's coming.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, and I'm also not a fan of This Is America. So
really?
Interesting.
I'm not. So, there's
explain. And what are your reasoning?
I guess more so the music video than the song, so I don't know if that counts for record of the year. But I get what Gambino was going for with the video. I just don't know how comfortable I am with the level of violence against Black bodies in the video being used for a certain commodification purpose. And I don't know if his message was his message or his take on it was a very not that hot of a take, I feel like, to justify it. So it made me deeply, I just didn't care for it. And I got what he was going for, and I'm happy that there are people who took something away from it, but I didn't, and it didn't do anything for me except make me visibly shaken. And so, but not in a good way, in a, this is awful, I don't like this way. So, not a big fan of This Is America, but I'm happy that people took stuff away from it if they did. But
totally. I really feel the same way. I thought it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I get, like you said, I totally get what he's trying to present and satirize and comment on, but it also felt like maybe using Black people as the props that you're describing them as, like, is not the best way to deliver this message.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's see, what, let me look. I mean, I don't get what the deal, I don't, like, who is Post Malone, really?
I don't know, and I wish someone would tell me. This is the worst, just why? Yeah.
I just do not get it, but, I mean, locals go crazy for this
crazy. They really do. Like, people love him.
Yeah. It's, you know?
He would have been the man.
Just imagine naming an album Beer Bongs and Bentleys and getting nominated for awards for that.
I truly.
White men? That. White men know no bounds.
That video of Monique saying, I would like to see it.
Yeah, no. I haven't listened to it because I just really don't listen to Post Malone. But I don't. I agree with Claire on this one. That title of that album, I don't know. I don't get the appeal of Post Malone. I never have. I'm just confused.
I mean, really the only thing I think that, like, matters with the Grammys is Janelle Monáe's album.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, like, a little bit of the Black Panther album, a little bit of Cardi B's album.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just, like, the funniness that is Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga getting nominated.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, what about Miss Spacey Casey? Casey Musgraves, are we fans of her?
I'm not a yeehaw girl. Like, I'm not a country girl.
Neither am I. I mean, neither am I, who but I... That? Okay, you know I love a good yeehaw.
Yeah, understand.
I love a good giddy up.
You know, I listened to it. I thought it was fine. Just didn't affect me.
Mm.
Okay, fair.
I apologize if I've insulted anyone.
Me, but okay.
Okay. Anyone else with nomination comments?
Not really. Just all this talk of the Grammys is making me think of Halsey's cameo in A Star Is Born.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
I would just
how
like
great.
Just her saying, oh, how sweet, Allie.
Like, okay, so I've seen A Star Is Born, you know, like a dozen times.
Okay.
So, but one of, like, I think maybe the most recent time I saw it, I took out my phone during that scene to just record the audio of her saying, how great, Allie. It's the most passive-aggressive thing in the world.
It's
and
so
if
true.
Halsey does not, maybe I should host the Grammys, honestly.
Yeah.
If Halsey does not recreate that moment when Bradley Cooper wins, I mean, it's like, nothing means anything.
Yeah. No, host both.
Yeah. Who's stopping you?
Right.
The Academy? I don't think so.
It's not like they have any other prospects. They're doing bad.
Yeah. And speaking of A Star Is Born, Hunter, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Bradley Cooper did go to Georgetown.
Indeed.
And
he came
here and spoke.
He did.
And did an advanced screening of the movie. And
Dejar got to ask him a question.
Yes,
I did get to ask him a question. He was right in front of me.
What did you ask him?
What did I ask him?
I remember. I was there. You asked him, Dejor is a film studies minor, and the kind of the arts community at Georgetown as a whole isn't really thriving. So she asked Bradley about, you know, how to make that work being a Georgetown student. How can you have a career in this at a place that doesn't really focus on it? And
he was
so thoughtful. He just, I mean, we were sitting in, like, the fifth row from the stage, and his eyes were so blue. I was going blind, and he was just like, start making films now. You have an iPhone. He's just, like, just sheer hard work.
And I would also like to point out that the girl in front of me who asked the question, she just wanted him to say, like, happy birthday to her mom on video, and then he then proceeded to come off the stage, come right near us, and take a selfie video saying happy birthday. I was in that. I was next to him. He smells great.
Oh my god!
It was beautiful.
Incredible.
What was the beard like up close?
Oh my god!
Well, it was shaved.
Sorry, he had the beard.
Yeah,
no, it was shaved at
he
that
was.
Moment.
Was it
shaved? Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I know Hunter knows this. I read your whole piece about his makeup routine and graying the beard and the spray tan. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So long story short,
it's like the most important story I've ever written.
Yeah,
it really is. I. Oh,
but yeah,
so important.
Dejor and Bradley Cooper are lovers now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's what happens.
That's what
incredible.
That's exactly what happened.
Actually, I have a question. You guys are Georgetown students, so maybe you can find this for me.
I read some interview a while ago, like maybe a month or so ago, that was him talking about his history singing, and he said he was in, like,
choir. Gospel choir.
Yes.
And I'm, like, literally trying to comb through the internet to find audio of this or video of it. If there's any leads you guys have, please tell me. This is a very important journalism, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah. So absolutely. True. Yeah.
Investigative journalism.
We can work it out.
Yeah, we need, yeah.
I have never heard any audio, seen any pictures, but... We heard him say it himself. He joined the gospel choir while he was here.
They have to have that.
There's gotta be something, yeah.
The gospel choir has to have that.
It's for the good of the country.
Yeah.
We've gotta do
this. Here's the thing. Footage of Bradley Cooper singing gospel in choir will literally clear my skin.
I might believe in God. Probably not, but maybe. Okay. Are we ready for wrap-ups?
We are. Okay, so... I guess to end it off, we just wanted to talk in general about our favorite cultural things that happened in this tumultuous year. So, Hunter, what have been your favorite things culturally to happen?
Damn, I've been put on the spot.
Yeah. Big question.
My favorite thing, okay, this is what I was thinking about this morning, actually. There's one scene in If Beale Street Could Talk that I really love between Brian Tyree Henry, who's had an amazing year, and Stephon James. I really, really love that scene. I mean, also the Shallow scene in A Star Is Born, I love. Yeah. I mean, also Thank You Next. I love Homecoming. I was surprised how much I really appreciated Homecoming.
I loved Homecoming.
Here's the thing. All that is great, but also the video of that journalist... from the Wrinkle in Time press tour, the video of the journalist giving Reese Witherspoon her, like, college dissertation about Lisa
Bond. Oh, yeah.
And Reese, definitely acting it up how excited she was about it. And Oprah just being bored as hell.
I need to see this video.
It's cinema at its finest. I can't even say enough about this video, except that I have to watch it every single day.
That and the video of Oprah eating that chicken... Have you seen that? Like, that $1 million chicken?
Yes.
And she was like, did you add any salt or pepper? It's incredible.
She's like, actually, this is terrible.
Great.
Yeah, no, those are my favorite things, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, I watched so much TV this year that I just really have nothing else to talk about, which is fine. But This Is Us continues to make me sob on the daily.
Mm-hmm.
The Good Place is funny as hell. And I'm writing my thesis on Mrs. Maisel,
really?
Which is...
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, that's my favorite thing on
TV. That's nice. I like that.
But yeah, you know, all the classics, all the movies we've already talked about. And then the last thing is Mitski's Be the Cowboy. Which was just, like, truly, like, deserves all the recognition it's getting. She's such a beautiful artist, and it was such an interesting and, like, well-done album.
Yeah.
And I got to see her in concert, and she was so fucking weird, but I loved it. So, yeah, that's my wrap-up.
Yeah. For me, it's gonna have to be, of course, Black Panther. Best theater experience I've had since Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2. Like... By far. Eighth Grade, which I watched over Thanksgiving break with my mom. She cried, which she doesn't often do. Widows, I just came back from the theater seeing that again. Still shook. I love that. Beyonce's Coachella performance, which I forgot happened this year, but it did.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't have the words. I just, Beyonce, I can talk forever, so I'm not going to, but I love that woman. Timothée Chalamet, Beautiful Boy. Did not think that movie was the best, but Timothée Chalamet was, and I love him with all my heart, and I just want great things for him. The only white boy I'd ever consider marrying, that's a fact.
Or Bradley.
Well, we're already kind of like there.
Right.
So. American Vandal, which is a TV show that Netflix recently canceled. I have already... raged about this on any social media platform that I have. It is a phenomenal show. I hope it gets picked up by another network, and it deserved more love than it got at the Emmys, probably because it's a show about dicks, so they didn't want to exactly give it that, but it's about so much more, and it needs more recognition. Michael Che, because I recently became obsessed with SNL, and he's funny, and then Thank You, Next. That is my yearly wrap-up of all the things that gave me joy.
Amazing. Yeah, and for me, I thought 2018 was a pretty great year at the movies. I'm still thinking about Tom Cruise jumping out of a plane. Mm. There was also kind of like a renaissance for rom-coms, yes, with Crazy Rich Asians and Set It Up and To All the Boys, which I know Hunter loves.
So I'm really so mad I left that off of my wrap-up because you know I loved
it. I know you did. You said it before anyone else did. Yeah, I made sure to watch it like the second it went up because Hunter had been tweeting about it like forever. Yeah, no, you thought I was kidding when I said I was obsessed with you.
She really is.
It's not a lie.
Yeah, and again, A Star Is Born just kind of was this gigantic thing, and seeing it at Georgetown was like extra special. Roma, which is a movie we haven't really talked about yet, I think is it's a masterpiece. I think it's kind of silly that at the Globes, foreign movies can't be nominated for Best Picture. So I guess we're not really going to get like a Roma, A Star Is Born, like head to head going into the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it'll be one of those two. And then, yeah, also that video of Bradley Cooper doing Rocket the Raccoon, I think should win Best Picture. I've never seen someone commit so hard to playing a raccoon.
He's just so talented.
He really is.
His mind.
I know. And he had the beard and the long hair for most of that shoot, so that's probably why he was so great.
Yeah.
You know how people buy other people's like hair on eBay? Just saying. I'm just saying.
I would.
Yeah.
You know, that is a very interesting proposition, and I might do that.
I believe it.
I would also like to point out that on the lift back to campus today, I was looking through more of your tweets, and the Bradley Cooper is the only white man I've ever wanted to be rewarded for anything, and look how he's treating me was phenomenal, especially later when he said, wait, I forgot about Timothy Chalamet. Okay, yeah. This was a clear lie. Okay. That had the Lyft driver cracking up, so thank you.
I had that thought, and I was like, damn, like, Bradley Cooper really is, like, the only white man I support.
Yeah.
And then I, like, came to my senses later, and I was like, wait, what about Ethan Hawke? What about Timothy Chalamet?
Yes.
What about all of these boys? I was like, this is so embarrassing. I literally just lied to myself.
Yeah, it's true.
But,
I know.
You know, there were like 5 blissful minutes where I truly believed that.
The greatest.
There could be 100 people in a room, but just one. Yeah. Great.
Do you have anything else you want to say about literally anything? You can say whatever you want, Hunter.
Oh my gosh. I everything that's been said, I agree with, especially Beyonce's Coachella set. That should be at the very top, because she is, one of my coworkers at Vulture says all the time that Beyonce is like the greatest cinematic auteur of
yes,
our generation.
That is
and
so
I
true.
Like think that's completely true. I mean, she does stuff that even Bradley Cooper can only dream about.
Yes.
I think every day about what their Star Is Born could have been like.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It would be too powerful.
We could not.
We couldn't do it.
We couldn't recover from it.
Doesn't deserve that.
We don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Not at all. No, that's too much.
But yeah, thank you guys for having me on your podcast. This is so fun. I like want to do this every week.
If you want to.
If you want to.
Oh, please.
Really?
Can you come back for Oscars? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, no, I totally will.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
We were all obsessed with you, and we're now more obsessed with you. I'm sorry if that's weird, but that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Thank you just so incredibly much for doing this. You have the best opinions out of anyone in the entire world.
The most correct takes.
Yes.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. Yeah, and I just wanted to say that I just, like, respect you so much, and I think you're just, like, the perfect embodiment of a modern journalist who, like, people care what you have to say, but you still have, like, an amazing personality, and, like, yeah, I want to be you when I grow up, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm, like, getting emo now.
No, I really mean it, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'm about to make a Twitter just so I can follow you.
Oh, you have to.
As soon as this ends.
You have
no
to.
No joke.
Oh yes. My gosh, I'm telling you, all my tweets are dumb and boring, but
that's
really
the best
thing. I really can't stress enough how I literally was exactly where you all are. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even like 3 years ago. Wow. I was in college, doing the college paper, doing all this stuff, and no, I'm like happy that I'm able to help other women in this industry doing the same stuff. I think it's important. So thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. So that concludes this edition of Untitled Leisure Pod. Wow. Yeah, thank you again, Hunter. Her Twitter is at Hunter Y Harris. Go follow her. You won't regret it. Yeah.